Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Are y'all ready? You ready to be the choir? Miss Sarah's going to give us some announcements, and then it's time to shine. You know what I'm saying? It's a Feliz Navidad time. You know what I mean? If you see all these folks in red shirts, the red shirts here was a fundraiser for the Christ Community Youth, made by our own Jarquez, wherever he is. Our shirt make, there he is, and that's Jarquez. Raise your hand again, Jarquez. Looks like a Jarquez, and we're gonna. If you want another one, if you want one of these, having seen the wonder and the splendor of them. If we get enough, probably, you know, who wants some, we can reorder some. That goes along with Jesus Saves Bro shirts. We got Jesus Saves Bro. If you have a Jesus Saves Bro shirt, wear it next week. Okay? Where it's like stand up and show them, Miss Jackie. Both of these were fundraisers. The Jesus Saves Bro shirt went for a fundraiser for the building campaign and raised just is $950 some that went into the building campaign. And so we're just praising God for that. But if you got one, hey, next week we're gonna be celebrating Christmas. We're gonna be having baptisms, folks making professions of faith, and it'd be a great time for us to be decked out in our Jesus Saves Bro shirt. Because Jesus came to save. I mean, that's it. He came to save. He's coming again to lead, to rule, and to reign forevermore. He came to save. And that's our message. All right? All right. Miss Sarah's got something.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carry the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all. Come let us.
Yeah, I think it's on. I think it's on now. Everything's working. He can help us. The Lord at his birth. Do you hear the gospel in there? Grace that's greater than our sin. Y'all, there's a couple things that we all just count ourselves blessed about. There's more than a couple, but just in that. One, that we got kiddos involved in doing things. Speaking of which, ninth class, if you're in here still, ready break. Praise God for having kiddos. Yeah. Hey, it's kind of weird that you got to take that for granted. You know, we can't take that for granted. But if you've walked into, you know, any number of churches in our area, then you've probably walked into some where there aren't any kiddos. All right? And we are a blessed family to have kiddos in our mix, to have youth, to have youngins of all ages and sizes and everything. Here they go. And it's just good. But then to have our kiddos, you know, when they lead up here, they go over these songs. They go over the message of these songs. And in that song was a message, you know, I heard it loud and clear. She said, they said, is grace greater than our sin? Y'all just let that sink in. You know, that's something that our kids are being taught. And then they're using that to teach us. And I don't know about you. I wish I would have caught on to that sooner. Right? That God's grace is greater than my sin, and I ought not have my head hung down. I'll have my eyes looking up to the one who saves me. Right? And then we don't even understand. I've been through seminary. I've been through training. I've looked into the Word. But I still can't express to you how great a privilege it is that through Christ, sinners like me get to declare God holy. I'm no expert on holiness. Yet, by grace and the gift of God, I get to be part of a choir that sings holy, holy unto God. I didn't earn that right. I don't deserve that right. It's not a right. It's a gift. You know who else sings holy, 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 right? How did we get to be a part of that angelic choir of the Most High God? Through grace greater than our sin. And we're reminded of that from our youngins up here singing and dancing. That's pretty awesome. Y'all think so?
I think so too.
Man, I think so. You're like, preacher says we all think so. Let's think so then. Okay, let's go. No, you know, it's going to be good. I don't know about y'all too about this. Now we're getting into the paid part of the sermon. That was a freebie, all that other stuff. But when does Christmas time kind of hit you? You know, we talk about in the shows and stuff, they talk about the spirit of Christmas and all these things. And I don't want to get off into all that. But I notice that I have a tendency to kind of be, in my personality, to be up and down, you know, highs and lows. I imagine we all do to some certain extent. I'm telling you, it just felt like I was going to have an awful day this morning. I woke the dog's bark, woke me up. Which I'm glad. So I looked out and the sun was shining, which meant something had went wrong. My phone alarm clock had died in the middle of the night. So I got up an hour and 15 minutes late. And y'all know I preach at another church in the morning. So, I mean, I was kind of like, woo! You know what I mean? It was like nightmare scenario. And I go charge my phone in my car. And my cord is out. It's not working. So I'm like, great. I come into my church where I also have a charger. Can't find the cord and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, and I'm about to have, even though all those are minor, I was about to have this pity party. Y'all ever been to one of those parties? You know, where all of a sudden you start thinking, and you don't just think this is a stupid cord. You bring everything from the last 3 months up to date with you. And you're like, well, you know, and then this and then that and blah, blah, blah. And I started getting ready. Man, I started getting ready. Started getting ready to throw a little pity party. We'll have a little personal tantrum. Just a little bit of little bah humbug going on. And got to church at the Foundry this morning, and they started singing the Christmas songs just like we did here, you know. And there's something about praise and worship that reminded me, something about this time that just reminded me, it don't matter. You can pile up all the stuff from the last decade, all the problems, all the inconveniences, or for my whole life. And it just doesn't matter. It's not even fair, as a matter of fact, I got to think it. Because I attribute what happened this morning to the Holy Spirit saying, John, get up. Don't get down. Remember what's going on. Remember who you are, where you are, what's going on. And we are singing, Oh Holy Night, how when he appeared, the soul felt its worth. And I was like, you know, Christ has appeared to me. Now, I didn't see him, but I mean, he's been revealed in the scripture. He was revealed in the sharing of the gospel. I received and I believed and God worked in me. And I'm telling you, it was like the, whatever you want to say, the chill bumps, the goose pimples, the chicken skin, whatever you want to say, Jesus bumps from my toes to my head. And I just got happy in the Lord. And you know, and we start saying, my hands were up and I'm just singing and I'm going, thank you, Lord. And I realized how unfair, because you know, God's got an in on me. God can flip the script and do that through the power of His Holy Spirit. Make me happy. I don't know what the enemy's going to have to do to break me down. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things. I'm sure He'll try. I got all my rest of my life. But you know what happens after that? I go into this place where there is no enemy anymore. I go into this place where there are no troubles, where there are no bills, where there's no inconveniences, where the sun is always shining, because the sun is S-O-N, not S-U-N, and there ain't no troubles or problems there. Every tear is dried up, and it's just going to be an awesome place. And all of a sudden, I start going, okay, all right, I'll be happy, Lord. I got you. I got the message. So I don't know when that time of year, or if that when God uses some of the things around this time of year through His Holy Spirit to pick you up. But if you came here and you were in a pity party, tempted to be in a pity party, or just close to it, you know, just in the bah humbugs, I want to challenge you. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how when He appeared, your soul was valued at such a great price that to be anything but joyful is going to be out of place. You know what I'm saying? Let Him do that work in you too. Oh, that was a free sermon too. I haven't even got to what I'm preaching yet. But it don't matter. We just go on. We got all day, right? Right. Okay. Thank y'all for agreeing. Y'all are so hospitable. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 2. We hear a lot of, you know, we hear songs about having a white Christmas or a holly jolly Christmas and all those things. What about just having a really good, honest Christmas? You know, like the idea of being honest during Christmas time, and all the rest of the time I kind of hedge a little bit, but Christmas time you're going to be a little honest. No. But let's be honest about some of the controversy going on. Christmas always drums up in our country, and I don't know why. Maybe this message will answer why. But there's always seems to be a little controversy now, doesn't there? Take Christ out of Christmas. They attack different songs. Can't play such songs. You know, to play a Christmas song in a public school is a violation of church and state, they'd say. To put it up in public is hedging the bets. It's disturbing people who don't believe, they say. You know, it's all these things. It gets so weird. You know, for a while it just seems so weird to me. You know, this year's, they're starting to attack some of the secular stuff, right? You know, baby, it's cold outside is like the... You know, it's this date rape song, you know, and you got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is the promotion of bullying, which I do. I was going to write a script for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for when Santa came to talk to him that night. And Santa came, you know, foggy and stuff. And he's like, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? And Rudolph was like, are you kidding me? Y'all dogged me out my whole life. You ain't let me play no reindeer games. You made fun of me. And now you want me to do something for you? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? For real? And he just kind of stomps off into the smoke. It'd be a real short play. But you know, if you get into those things, you think about them, it's all right. But let's be honest. We can lose Baby It's Cold Outside. We can lose Rudolph. We can lose Frosty. We can lose Winter Wonderland. The seasonal stuff. You ain't going to hurt Christmas. You can't hurt what it is we're celebrating. I mean, let's be honest. Those things, the controversy about them, you know, it's just people who are angry because they have no God. It's okay. I understand why those people are angry. person, there is no spirit of God that fills them to bring them over their pity parties. And their life only gets worse. Can we just be honest? These people are angry. They're infuriated. And they ought to be. Why wouldn't they be? There's no pot of gold at the end of their rainbow. Right? There's a pile of not good stuff at the end of their rainbow. They ain't got. Where's the hope? Where's the light? You know one of the things it says about Christ? He comes to be a light of the world. He comes to give a light. What if you reject the light? Where do you live? You live in darkness? You're only stubbing your toe. That's why they're mad. That's why they're angry. Bunch of toe-stubbed folks. But I want you to see this. I want us to understand it. Because, y'all, the idea, what I hear from some people when they try to defend Christmas, is they go, oh, well, you know, it's just all fun and games. These songs, this season. It's all just, don't mind it. It's just kids' stuff. You know, it's all just this and that. When people defend Christmas like that, I think to myself, y'all need to shut up. Because it's much, much more than that. Don't ever defend the Christmas season by saying, oh, it's just fun. It's just family stuff. Don't be one of those. Listen to what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in His anger and terrifies them in His wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, on my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Celebrate His rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, or He will be angry. And your way will lead to your destruction. For His wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those who take refuge in Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here. Thank You, Lord, for this season where we're reminded of the greatest intervention that ever took place. That You provided for us a sacrifice that would be sufficient to forgive our sins, all of them, forever. Thank You, Lord, that You've come to be Lord, to be King, to rule. And Father, those who are opposed, I think, may have a better sense of it. And it's why they're angry. It's why they want to always shut down Your message. Help us, Lord, who believe and who have bowed our knee, to be louder, to proclaim fearlessly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we love You and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So when these folks get angry about Christmas, this Christians is taking over and stuff, we need to stop going, oh no. We need to say, yeah, You're right. Jesus, that baby born in a manger, He didn't come to stay baby Jesus light in Talladega Nights where the dude keeps praying to cute baby Jesus. Jesus didn't come to be your homeboy. Jesus came to be Savior and Lord and King. He is coming to take over. Let the folks be scared. They ought to. The Bible says they ought to tremble with fear. You know what? If they weren't fighting, it'd mean that they didn't get it. But here's the thing. The enemy, who's running their camp, he gets it. He knows what Jesus has come to do. Let's just look at this and kind of capture with a verse, stealing from another preacher. That's what preachers do. We steal them from each other all the time. If it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. So, you know, we done steal and borrow. Tony Evans, a great preacher out of Dallas, Texas, he gave us this statement. Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. Jesus did not come to take sides. He came to take over. He didn't come to take the Democrat side or the Republican side. the American side or the rest of the world side. He didn't come to take over this side or that side, the rich or the poor side. He didn't come to say, oh, you all are good and I applaud y'all, but you all are bad. He came to be king overall. Remember when the wise men came? Who were they looking for? The one who was born to be king of the Jews. He didn't come just to be, I'm just going to join with y'all. He came to stand up and say, y'all can join me by faith. It's pretty awesome when we think about it. Now let's look. The first three verses in Psalm 2 speak to the frustration. It speaks to the anger. I felt like I fell in a bucket for a second. I'm coming out of the bucket. It speaks to, here I'm in the bucket again. It says, the masses and their leaders mobilize against the Lord and His anointed. They're enraged and they want to end the Lord's influence. In these first three verses, it says they conspire, they plot, they rise up, and they say about the Lord, let us break off His chains, let's break off His shackles. In other words, they see having God as their leader and king as something that is binding, something that is shackling. There was a movie, a mockumentary, I won't call it a full-out documentary, called Religious by Bill Maher, the comedian. By the way, who is kind of somebody who sets the belief for a whole lot of people in our country. They try to believe like him. And in his mockumentary at the end, this is why he says he's an atheist. He says, I'm an atheist because I don't want anybody telling me what I need to do in my own bedroom. And because I don't want anybody telling me what I got to do on Sunday morning. And I don't want anybody telling me who I should give my money to. See, his whole mindset is, having God shackles me. It limits me. It bars me in. It gives me a rule and a moral and an order that I don't want to live with. That I don't want to put up with. Y'all, that's where the hostility comes. It ain't nothing bigger than a baby fit. It's nothing more than a tantrum. I want to have my way and I don't want nobody to tell me. You're not the boss of me, God. You're not the boss of me. Who's going to tell me what to do? That's what it is. It's crazy. I mean, it's the same thing in my life. When I don't want, you know, when I start seeing like, even as a Christian, I might feel bound in sometimes as if God is somehow limiting me. But it's only because I forgot. God didn't shackle me up. God took the shackles off of me. God has freed me up. Through God, I'm able to serve. Through God, I'm able to overcome. Through God, I'm able to rise up. Not against God, but because of God. For God. With God working through me. It's a totally different mindset. But y'all, when you see the hostility against Christmas, don't scratch your head. The most hostile people, you may want to talk to them. We may want to say, you know what? You got some things right. He is a king. He has come to take over. And there's still time for you to join. There's still time for you to come on. Who are you going to trust? What leaders? What political power? What influence? What authority are you going to trust over God? Who do you think's rulership's going to last? I mean, we start looking at, let's look through history. Countries rise up, and then what happens? Countries fall. They rise, and they fall. Which one are you going to trust in? Or are you just going to say, I don't care, as long as it's okay where I am for my time, I don't care about anything else. Can I tell you something? God's leadership is the only one that's going to last. And the hostility that's there ain't nothing but a baby fit. Even if it's in you and me as believers, we can throw baby fits, can't we? You know, somehow or another, we got the reputation of trying to be perfect people. I'm glad that's the other churches. That's not our church. That's everybody else. Because we can talk from every single soul in here. Look, Christ came to save sinners. Go ahead and not identify in that group. I don't know what kind of savior you got. You know? I don't say I'm a sinner in the sense of bragging. I'm saying I'm a sinner in the sense of just fact. This is who I am, and I'm saved by grace that was greater than my sin, and I celebrate my Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved me. But don't you be wondering. Don't scratch your head and puzzle about why there's hostility against that message. Because it's not just a cute manger scene. I told a joke today about this young boy writing out the nativity, you know, drawing a picture of the nativity scene. And he wrote this pudgy, round, fat kid right in the, you know, somebody told this joke to me. I think they were typecasting. Anyway, you know, they said there was this fat, round, fat boy in the back of the manger scene, the nativity. And the teacher said, little Bobby, this is a great drawing, but what's up with the round, fat kid in the back? And little Bobby looked at his teacher and said, well, ma'am, that's round John Virgin. And, I ain't going to tell you who said that joke, but it might be Kit Smith, so I ain't going to tell you. But like I said, I think she was typecasting me out for that. But the point is, what Jesus did, it doesn't stay in the manger. It doesn't stay this cute scene. Y'all, it's a whole lot more than that. It's a whole lot more. And the rulers of the earth, they understand it, and they get it. What's God's reaction to hostility? When the world, when the leaders, when the political correct army of totally intolerant tolerance preachers come up against God and His gospel, what's His reaction? Do you think He gets freaked out? You reckon He's like, oh no, I offended them because I didn't include, what if they're not Christian? What if they're Muslim? Or what if they're atheist? Or what if they're Buddhist? Or what if they're this? Or da-da-da-da. You think God's up there consulting with Gabriel, Michael, all the rest of the angels, huddle up. I'm afraid we've hurt some feelings down yonder. How are we going to get ourselves up? This is a PR nightmare. Oh. You know, the song, the movie Elf, I love that movie. Elf in there. But Santa Claus, his sleigh can't fly if people don't believe. And so they had to make an engine. I forget what they call it. The Kringle 6000, I think is what it's called. And they put an engine on the sleigh because the reindeer can't fly if there's no Christmas magic to be believed in. Can I tell you, it makes for a wonderful movie. I love it. But our faith does not either build up nor diminish God. God is not prisoner to whether we believe in Him or we don't. God's no, he's not sitting there biting his fingernails if that's even possible. He's not worried. This scripture says this, starting in verse 4. After they say, we're going to throw off his shackles, we're going to break his chains, the one enthroned in heaven laughs and scoffs at them. You ever hear that saying, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans? So here, verse 1 through 3, describes the most powerful people in the world. Do y'all see that? The nations conspire, the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth. They're all conspiring against God, telling, we're going to break his shackles, we're going to break his chains. They're telling God his plans, and what's God's, you know, what's the reaction? He laughs. He laughs. Really? So they're sitting there, talking to each other, sucking in breath that God gave them, talking about how they're going to undo God's rule. God's keeping their heart pumping and their brain waving while they're using all this to talk about getting out from underneath God's rule. And you think God would take them serious even for a second? Even for a second. He ain't scared of all of them piled up with all their guns aimed at Him. He still ain't scared. He ain't never going to be scared. He's never going to be moved. He's just going, it says he just laughs. He scoffs. All right. It's amazing to me that he's not vengeful right then. Who else besides me is glad that when you are having an anti-God moment somewhere in your life, because I wasn't born a Christian, I was born again a Christian. And in my just natural state, I was hostile toward God. Matter of fact, so were you. The Bible says we are all had enmity, hostility between us and God before we were saved. Aren't you so glad that our merciful God only laughed and didn't strike out? At the time we were deserving wrath, aren't you glad that He didn't just let us have it? That He was merciful and He only laughed. Oh, I'm so glad.
But he laughs. His plans are settled. If we look at verse 6, he said, well, verse 5 says he rebukes them and he terrifies them. If you don't think our world's terrified, follow the climate change movement. They're freaked out. The end of the world is nigh. They sound like preachers. Oh, the end of the world! The end of the world is going to come. It's going to flood up. It's going to fill up. It's going to do all this and all this stuff. I remember reading in a magazine, a science magazine, a secular, non-believing, atheistic science magazine talking about how to survive the end of the world. You know, they had a grant given to MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, to try to find wormholes so that they could take microbots geared with DNA from human beings, launch them through a wormhole to a parallel universe to repopulate so that the human race could go on. That was in Discover Magazine around 2000 and somewhere in there, between 2002 and 2005. It was around the time of the big tsunamis that happened. So if you want to look it up, they're looking for wormholes. They had big, like, rabbit ear antennas for old TVs. And I'm sitting there going, somebody paid money for that. A lot of money. And they're preaching how to survive the end of the world. Man, when the science community is preaching how to save the end of the world, they're afraid of something. See, they assume that we're in control. We've messed it up because we're in control. Now we're going to fix it. Really? We're going to fix it? Uh-huh. All right. See, that's where we depart. Their message is, how are we going to fix it? Our message is, God has fixed it. Verse 6 says, I have installed my king. I have installed my king. That's for all you grammar people. Is that past, present, or future tense? I have installed past tense. This is a done deal. The King of Kings has been installed. It's just, his reign is coming. He came to be Savior first. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But his kingship, his rule is coming. You want to know how to survive the end of the world? Give your life to Christ. Amen. Hey, I'm right with those. The end is coming, man. Woo! Now what you going to do? You can either trust a wormhole to a parallel dimension with micro robots, or you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. To some people, who knows what you're going to choose, but I'm just putting the offers out there, right? I don't know, except for to say God has solved the problem. Man, we have an opportunity to put ourselves in with God. Matter of fact, that's this last part. These last verses, 10 through 12. Listen to this. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned. This is an invitation. Christmas ought to remind us that there's a great invitation out there. That God came to us that we might come to Him. This is that invitation. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate His rule with trembling. Kiss the Son. I just take those three. I just love them. But the invitation is this. You come on under the loyalty. Let's start with that phrase, kiss the Son. That's an expression of love. That's an expression of loyalty. You know, if we were all mobsters, you know, if I was like Al Capone or something like that, you know, you might have to kiss the ring. I don't know, are those the ring kissers? Or, you know, if we had some hierarchy in our religious structure, you might have to kiss the ring of a bishop or somebody like that. So either you're really high official in a church or you're Al Capone. I don't know why those two, but anyways, I'll let you all sort out the reasons for why those similarities exist. But, you know, it's a sign of loyalty. It's a sign of favor. It's a sign of, hey, I'm on your side. I'm yours. We have this opportunity. You have the opportunity to say to God, I accept your Son. I give Him my loyalty. I give Him my love. I give Him myself. Don't make no promises of money and stuff and all those things because you can't keep them. You can't keep those promises. What if you said, hey, I can promise to give God $10 a week for the rest of my life? It don't seem like a lot, does it? But are you guaranteed to make $10 a week for the rest of your life to do it? Can you lose all the money you got? Can you lose your ability to make money? You sure can. So even a modest vow, $10 a month for the rest of my life, you can't keep it. You can't be sure to keep it. But you know what you can give them? Guess what you can give them? You can give them you. Just give them you. Kiss the sun. Join. Now, what happens at the end of a wedding? How do we know they really joined? What's the sign? The dude walked away like, dang, the Lord. No. I mean, there's one of the signs, right? We wear a sign. But what do we do before then? What? I can't hear you. What do they do? Oh. My daughter Allie's over here. They kiss that. They kiss, you know. They kiss. Come on, man. Yeah. You may now kiss your bride. What's the symbol of that? They probably kissed before. Hopefully they're going to kiss after. Why they do it right there on stage in front of everybody? Just being showy? In that TMI? Like, giving their help, man. Hey, it's a sign. Yeah, it's a sign. It's a profession of love. I like that. It's just a way of saying, we've joined. It's official. It's done. Have you made it official with God? Have you kissed the Son? Have you come up to the point in your life where you say, you know what? I've seen the things, whether it's the stuff around Christmas, whether it's whatever it might be. I've heard the Word preached. I've seen the creation. And I've come to recognize that there's a God much bigger and stronger than I. But have you kissed Him? Have you yielded? Have you said, I don't just recognize you as the Lord and the Savior. I recognize you as my Lord, as my Savior. Oh, if you haven't, there's an invitation. You can. You can do it. Besides that, there's also an invitation to celebrate His rule. That's where I just am so glad to be saved. And on the other side, everybody else thinking, oh, if you serve God, you get shackled. Well, as a person who is shackled and lived in darkness, I can tell you this. God has freed me and brought me into light. And I'm so glad. And it's so awesome. And I get to celebrate His rule. I mean, it's not like I want to be arrogant, running around going, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. And they're like, get out of the mosque. Like, okay. You know, it's not like you're trying to just be purposely hostile or purposely ugly, but I can tell you something. Jesus Christ is Lord. And there ain't no secrets between He and I. He's my Savior. And there ain't going to be no surprises on the day when I meet Him face to face on the judgment seat. He's not going to say, oh, John, I would have forgave you everything except for this. He's not going to pull out a record and say, oh, look at what I got. Look at what I got. He knows it all. He forgave it all. And why not celebrate? Christian's not celebrating. Oh, it's ugly. I was trying to think of something better, funnier to say. But Christians that are not, those who've come over to Christ, you're not celebrating His rule. You're missing out. You know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. You know, when we love somebody, there's a tendency to celebrate. If you're stuck on negative, and you're stuck on pessimistic, and you're stuck on not celebrating, you're stuck in something that did not come from God. My advice would be come to God and wash that stickiness off of you. And let your face reflect your faith. And celebrate His rule. Celebrate it. I'm so glad when the end of campaigns... I'm so glad that whether if I'm for a candidate or for a president, I don't got to be afraid of saying that because everybody's going to say that you're racist or you're this or you're that. I'm going to be so glad to be in a place where there's a king who rules righteously and justly without question and beyond reproach, and it's settled and it's final. You know what? But I can live right now with that king in my heart. I can live under the rules of His kingdom now, regardless of what the rules of the kingdoms of this world are. But we ought to be happy about that. I'm happy about that. There will be a kingdom that will never change hands. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Celebrate. And don't also serve. If it's ugly to be a Christian and not be celebrating, it's also ugly to be a Christian and not be serving. Yeah, He is a King. Yeah, we almost are like, okay, well, you know, Jesus came and He did serve us, didn't He? He served us as Savior on the cross. He died for our sins. He gave us a model of service. He washed the feet of His apostles. And He said, look, man, I just spit on this young girl in the front. Most of it got in my mustache. I'll take care of that later. But when he served us, and you've got to be served by Christ if you're His. But once you're His to serve. We get to serve one another. We get to serve Him. This isn't a place where we just lay back and say, well, what's He going to do for me now? Man, He's done it. He's still doing it. Again, you are alive for a reason. And you ought to thank God that your lungs are working. One of our dear friends that you ought to continue to pray for, Miss Pat Lawrence. She had a scary, scary episode. Some of y'all have been praying. Her lungs weren't working. How quick does God get your attention when your lungs aren't working? Don't take a whole lot, does it? Keep praying for her. Pray for Kim and Mike and Charles and their whole family. She's still in the hospital. She's been in the hospital since not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. Keep praying for her. Her lungs are working a lot better now. Are you going to serve God later? You going to serve God when you get a chance? You going to gamble on the time and be like, you know what? I'll take care of this later. All right. Hope you get later. Hope your lungs keep working and your heart keeps beating. Your wave keeps waving. Your brain keeps waving. I'm going to say your wave keeps braining. I hope it works. Advise you, I'd serve Him now. Serve Him now. The blessing is for those who take refuge in Him now. That's where this passage ends. Blessed are those, all those who take refuge in Him. Are you amongst those blessed? I hope you are. I hope you are. I give out some verses at the end of the handout that you can look up. Both of them kind of just illustrate this point. The one in Luke talks about how you can't rob a strong person until you tie them up first. The Bible's full of good information like that, by the way. And so if you're going to rob a strong man, you got to tie him up first. And can I tell you, that's a picture of what's going to happen to this world system when our God and King has come to reign. When He was there and He had the ability to cast out devils and demons, He said, I have the power to bind up the enemy because I'm going to take what they got. That means He's going to take the lost souls like me away from the one who is controlling them and ruling in their lives, and He's going to bring them to His side. Out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light is how it says it in Colossians chapter 1. And this other part just talks about how furious they are, how enraged they are. Do you remember what happened on that first Christmas? We don't even know controversy like there's been in the past. What happened when the wise men came to King Herod and said, we've seen the star in the east that signifies the birth of the King of the Jews? What did Herod say? Woohoo! Strike up the band, this rocks. He said, go into Bethlehem where they said this light was and kill all the baby boys, two and under. Indiscriminately, kill them. What a controversy. The times we live in are much less. We ought to say, thank you, Lord. And we ought to be loud about who His kingdom is, or who the King is and His kingdom coming. But it says in chapter 2, verse 16 of Matthew about Herod, he was furious. In chapter 12 and verse 12 of the book of Revelation, it says that one, that rebel, the one they call Satan, the one they call the accuser of the brethren, the one that started this, the one who was in the garden, the serpent of old, who lied and led humanity astray, thinking he could separate mankind from our Creator God because he underestimated the amount of love and grace that our God has to redeem His people. That one, it says, is loose on the earth and he is full of fury because he knows his time is brief. That's who's orchestrating all this hostility. That's who's doing all these things. But can I tell you, and I just want to end on this. and we'll have a time of invitation. There's coming a time. We don't know how far off. It's an event that's going to happen in history, as prophesied in the book of Revelation. It's one of my favorite verses. It's chapter 11, verse 15 of the book of Revelation. I don't have it on the handout just because I just didn't put it there, and I want to share it with you though. It's talking about the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. The last trumpet shall sound. And it says, I heard loud voices coming from the throne of heaven declaring this, the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ has come, and He will rule forever and ever. I misquoted it. Y'all have to look it up. But it says, it's like that. It says just like that. But it says this, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall rule forever and ever. Can I just tell you, can I give you that invitation? That trumpet's going to blow someday. We don't know when. You might say, well, I don't plan to be here. Well, your plans don't mean nothing to me or God anyway. I'm going to tell you this. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And you and I have the opportunity, the blessed opportunity, to take refuge in Him today. And to encourage others to do also. Celebrate it by receiving and telling others about our great God and King. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have. And Father, I pray that as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, for the celebration, for all these things, that You would remind us of the great importance and the great privilege that we have to receive You now, to welcome You into our heart as Lord and Savior, God and King. And Father, if there's any here who haven't, Lord, I pray that today they would. Father, if there's any of Your people who are like me, and they're on the brink of bah humbug and getting into a depressed, pity party, episode, zone, time of life, Father, would You save them from that? We ain't got time to waste on all that. Father, help us, fill us with Your Spirit, that we might experience the love and joy and peace and all the rest that comes with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we love You. We give You all the praise. Do Your work for Your glory in our lives. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. If you need to respond to God in any way, this song is about response. There's altars up here. There's places if you want to come and kneel. That's fine. That's cool. But whatever you do, don't leave out without doing whatever response God calls for you, whether it's in your seat or coming up here. All right? This is your time.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels made the sign, bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity, unto a saint child is born, He shall reign forevermore.
I know everybody is great up there, you know, but sometimes you just notice somebody, and I just, anyway. How about our drummer, Rebecca Schmidt? Rocking it. Anyway, we're gonna take up our morning offering. So if the ushers would come down, and if they don't come down, just start throwing money in every direction. And I think here they come. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you and to worship and have just a time to take offering and to give in recognition that you're our source. You're the giver of all good and perfect gifts, and we just return a portion in gratitude. And help us to be that. Help us to be those who offer in worship and tithes with a grateful heart, a cheerful giver. And Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know?
Big John, and I met my goal for my weight and shaved my beard and everything, and thanks, man. No, real quick, we cut this feeding back real bad. Real quick, I just got a couple things to tell y'all real fast, man. It's really cool. I know y'all are ready to go, but I promise you're going to want to hear this. One, man, we've been praying really hard for this capital campaign, and if you haven't been praying for it, please start praying for it. And some people have started sending stuff out to different folks like y'all were challenged to. And we had our first bigger donation. Somebody gave $5,000 to the Capitol. Please clap for that. Thank you, Lord. So we updated the thingy, and so that's the new color there. If you can't see it, we put a line on the old spot. So there's the new spot. And so, man, thank you, Lord. If you're not giving to that, give to it. I promise it's awesome. Now, here's really cool stuff, man. So a lot of y'all don't know, we've been looking for another church van. And we haven't really said anything to anybody. We've just been looking. And so we found three or four that looked good. Matter of fact, one time me and John even talked about driving to Illinois to go look at one. And they hadn't worked out. At any point, they haven't worked out. But y'all know a lot of times, man, Andy's going that way, and we're sending folks that way to pick kids up, and then we're taking trips all the time, and so we just needed something else, so we kept looking, even though it didn't work out, we kept looking. Now, mind you, we had no clue how we were going to pay for it, because this, you know, we pay our bills. We pay our bills. Like, we pay our bills. I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? So there ain't no extra money in the bank, all right? So I was looking one night through some different pages or whatever, and I ran across a van. It looked cool, you know. They were asking like $14,000 for it, and it was 33 passenger, and looked real nice. And I was like, okay, let me call this guy. So me and Paul talked to the guy for over an hour, and they had dropped the price from 14 to 10, and he had taken it to the auction down in Baton Rouge, but it didn't meet the floor of what they were wanting for it. And he said, so I'm going Thursday to pick it up. Now, this was Monday night, last week, Monday night. And he said, I'm picking it up Thursday. So if you're still interested, you know, man, I'll call you Thursday and let you know and everything. And he said, but I tell you what, he said, our finance team has told me if you can get $6,000 for it, we'll take six. And so already at this point, we're like, thank you, Lord, it's gone from 14 to six. You know, man, it don't get much better than this. This is awesome. And so, me being me, I threw a fleece out in front of God. I don't know if you're supposed to or not, but I did. And I said, Lord, here's the deal. I said, God, if this is the van you want for us, the other ones haven't worked out. So what I'm asking you to do is have somebody random, somebody that has no idea that we're looking for a church van, to come up to the church and say, hey, I'd like to donate some money for a van. And I freaked myself out as I was praying it. And so I changed my prayer to pay for the whole van, to give at least $5. I said, Lord, if somebody comes and gives $5 for a van, then I'll know it's you. And so I prayed that Monday night, I prayed it Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night I asked Big John, Jason, and Bert, those three guys, I said, y'all pray it with me. Pray the same prayer, just as somebody would come and give at least $5. And so to my knowledge, they prayed with me. I guess they did. They did. I'm getting head nods from most everybody. Jason's not here, but he did. And so anyway, that was Wednesday night. So Thursday, Michael Foreman is the guy's name from New Heights Baptist Church in Summit, Mississippi. And he called me. And he said, hey, man, I'm on my way to pick the van up. Are y'all still interested? And I said, yes, sir, we are. I was just waiting to hear from you. And he said, man, I met with my committee last night, and we decided to give y'all the van for free. So, yeah, I cried too. I was actually speechless for the second time in my life. And I'm not going to tell you the first time, but the second time I was speechless. So me and John went Friday and picked the van up. It's sitting outside for y'all to look at when you leave. Totally free. Man, we went. We met the guys. They're awesome, awesome guys. Yeah, you can pull it up. They're kind of that way. It's on the other side. We tried to get it through, but couldn't. Feel free. I left it open. Y'all go on, look around. We'll be taking this to Beautiful Feet now, which is going to save us about $3,000 on that trip. It'll save us about $1,500 for having to rent a van to go to Centrifuge, y'all. And this church gave us this van for free. For free. Okay, so thank you, Lord.
Man, it's just, I'm always reminded, usually it's my wife reminded me, but she'll say, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, and I reckon if you're going to ask God, you might as well, you ought to ask big. And, y'all, this is a sure enough for real, but the things that are wrong, you want to know, there's some things wrong with it. The TV's on it. The audio don't work. Oh, it used to not work. It works. So the TVs work now. Okay, just, you know, so you know. A big old storage thing on it. The air conditioner wasn't working. But in the wintertime, it works. You just put the heat on it. But, you know, we just got to get it fixed by it. But there's some things like that that were little. But, man, this is just one of those times when the body of Christ is working together. If you ever had a doubt, hey, do people do stuff? This is the kind of stuff that don't get press, right? It gets the press when everybody's fighting and mudslinging. Well, this church had something worth, you know, $14,000 or whatever. And I don't even know. They gave me a record of all the money they put into it. You know, they got all the sheets of the mechanical stuff, you know, that they've had fixed and done. And they just said, y'all going to use it for ministry? So people come to know Jesus and God gets glory? Here you go. Man, that kind of stuff needs some press right there. That's pretty awesome. Anyways, praise God. Thank y'all. There's going to be a brief meeting. If you're, again, that ministry leader meeting, just stay here or get a, you know, go to the bathroom, get a drink and come back. We're going to start in about 10 minutes. It's not going to be real long. But let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time and this place. And we love you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready?